This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
That indeed it is. I am Tony Bruschi along with Stacey Cole, and we're about to go to a press conference in LA with a district attorney who's about to make a statement on the resentencing possibilities of Lyle and Eric Menendez, the Menendez brothers. I'm watching the screen right now. I see Mark Garagos, their attorney, standing there. Garagos and his firm with them from all the way back. Laura Uretzian was seen on one of the recent documentaries. So she's been on our program many a times. She was a key player in their representation back then. Let's now go to the podium where the district attorney, George Gascon, is about to make some remarks about the Menendez brothers.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Before I begin speaking, I want to also introduce some other people that are here with me, and I want to hope I'm pronouncing the names right because I've been here and I've been part of it. But I have Ana Maria Barat, Jose Menendez, is it me? Jose Menendez and niece Karen Vandermolen, and Katie's niece. They're all here with us. Also with us here is Brock Lunsford. He's the assistant head deputy for the Post Litigation Conviction Unit. And Nancy Servier, who is the deputy district attorney in charge of the resentencing unit. Let me begin by telling you that this is a case where we've had many people in this office spend a great deal of time reviewing the case. I can tell you unequivocally that we don't have a universal agreement. There are people in the office that strongly believe that the Menendez brothers should stay in prison the rest of their life, and they do not believe that they were molested. And there are people in the office that strongly believe that they should be released immediately and that they were in fact molested. I have to tell you that after a very careful review of all the arguments that were made for people on both sides of this equation, I came to a place where I believe that under the law, resentencing is appropriate. And I am going to recommend that to a court tomorrow. What that means in this particular case is that we are going to recommend to the court that the life without the possibility of parole be removed and that they will be sentenced for murder, which, because there are two murders involved, that will be 50 years to life. However, because of their age, under the law, since they were under 26 years of age at the time that these crimes occurred, they will be eligible for parole immediately. The teams that have worked on this, on the resentencing side of it, have spent literally probably hundreds of hours by now looking at this case. These cases were originally presented on the habeas side of it, which I'll explain in a moment what that is, last year, and then the request for a prosecutor-initiated resentencing occurred earlier this year. And there have been people in this office working in these cases from the very beginning, as well as many other cases that we have. The reason why I'm here today and why I came in front of all of you about 10 days ago is because there was a more recent documentary about the case that again brought a tremendous amount of public attention. And we know there have been other documentaries, so this is not the first, this is a more recent one. And frankly, our office got flooded with requests for information. And even though this case was already scheduled to be heard in late November, I decided to move this forward because, quite frankly, we did not have enough resources to handle all the requests. And one of the things that I thrive to do in this office is to be very transparent in everything we do. In this case, we review the prison files. You have to understand that the way the process works, when you're talking about a sentence and a resentencing under the law, it really focuses not necessarily on what the original crimes were, but it focuses on, has the person been rehabilitated, number one, and number two, can they be released safely into their community? Under that rubric, since I've been in office, we have resentenced over 300 people, including 28 for murder. Only four have reoffended. If that was a regular recidivism rate in this country, we would be the safest nation in the world, but we know that it's not. In fact, somewhere between 40 and 50% of the people that go to prison reoffend and get rearrested. And that's why we have so many problems. However, when you look at the case of the Menendez brothers, you see two very young people, one was 19 and the other was 21, when they committed this horrible act. And I want to underline, they were horrible acts. There is no excuse for murder. And I will never imply that what we're doing here is to excuse that behavior. Because even if you get abused, the right path is to call the police, seek help. But I understand also how sometimes people get desperate. We often see women, for instance, that have been battered for years, and sometimes they will murder their abuser out of desperation. And I do believe that the brothers were subjected to a tremendous amount of dysfunction in the home and molestation. But they went to prison for life without the possibility of parole, which meant that certainly under the law at that time, they had no hopes of ever getting out. They could have done what many other people do, which is basically said, you know what, I'm here for the rest of my life, so I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to misbehave, I'm going to join gangs, I'm going to live the life of a prison. But they never did that. To the contrary, even though they didn't think that they would ever be let free, they engaged in a different journey. A journey of redemption and a journey of rehabilitation. And often the people that begin their journey of rehabilitation or redemption in prison is often very internal. And what they do, and one of our lawyers pointed out this today, is usually the path is people try to further their education, do things for self-improvement, which the brothers have done, by the way. But it's more unique or more less usual, I guess, when people not only do that, but they also begin to engage in ways to make life for others better. And in this case, the brothers have been doing so for a very long time, creating groups to deal with how to address untreated trauma, creating groups to deal with other inmates that have physical disabilities and may be treated differently. Even in one case, Lyle negotiating for other inmates as to the conditions that they live under during prison. And all this was done by two young people. No, they're not as young. They had no hopes of ever getting out of prison. They have been in prison for nearly 35 years. I believe that they have paid their debt to society. And the system provides a vehicle for their case to be reviewed by a parole board, and if the parole concurs with my assessment, and it will be their decision, they will be released accordingly. I must underline, however, This case will be filed in court tomorrow. The final decision will be made by the judge. Court has to agree with my conclusion that they deserve to be resentenced. It is very possible that there may be members of this office that will be present in court opposing their resentencing. And they have a right to do so. And we encourage those that disagree with us to speak, and the court is the appropriate place to do it. We certainly feel very sure not only that the brothers have rehabilitated and that they will be safe to be reintegrated in society, but that they have paid their dues, not only for the crimes that they committed, but because of all the other things they have done to improve the lives of so many others. So, again, we will be filing for resentencing tomorrow. We're seeking that they would be sentenced to life with the possibility of parole, as opposed to life without the possibility of parole, which is they currently have. That means that they would have 50 years to life because there were two murders. But because of the age upon which they were convicted, under 26, under current law, that means they're eligible for youthful parole. I think there is also important to have some introspection today, because I think that often, for cultural reasons, we don't believe victims of sexual assault, whether they're women, whether they're men. We saw in our first trial, which, by the way, they were tried twice. First trial, hung. I mean, a jury could not come to a conclusion. In fact, about half of the jury wanted to convict them of manslaughter, which, if that were have been the case, they would have been off prison a long time ago. And then there was a second trial, and then they were convicted of murder with special circumstances, which led to the life without the possibility of parole. But it's salient to understand that our own implicit and sometimes explicit bias around sexual abuse and sexual assaults often leads us to severe injustices in our community. And I want to speak to those that are victims of sexual assault now, whether you're a man or a woman. Know that we're here for you. If you're a victim of sexual assault in this community, and by that we're talking about LA County, not just LA City, you can come for help. Whether you're prepared to prosecute or not, we will be here for you. We have services for you. And if you're prepared to move forward with the prosecution, we will evaluate it as we do any other case. And if we believe that the evidence is there, we present a credible case in front of a jury that can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, we would proceed accordingly. You do not have to suffer alone. You don't have to keep it to yourself. And help is here unconditionally. I'm going to say a few words in Spanish because I know there's a tremendous amount of interest from the Spanish media. And I know that there are going to be other speakers today. And then we're going to open it up for questions. Primero que nada, quiero dar las gracias a todos por estar aquí hoy.
I think that's where we'll break away from the breaking coverage here today of the press conference. The district attorney, George Gasson, stating that he believes the Menendez brothers should go free and that they have served their time for the murder of their two parents. The sentencing would have been 50 years, but because of their age, under the age of 26 when the crimes took place, they're eligible for an earlier parole, which would be available immediately if the court agrees with the district attorney. Thoughts on that, Stacey?
I think my gut tells me this is the right thing. We have evolved not very far, but we've evolved into a society that listens a little bit better to victims of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. We still aren't where we need to be, but I think the Me Too movement, yes, that put some people in the net that didn't belong in the net. But I think it changed thought patterns, and it made us take a look at the world around us that, you know what, some of these behaviors are not okay. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to take a look at your workspace, at your family lives, your relationships, and say, this behavior is not okay. And instead of taking somebody's life to end the abuse, we need to be able to go to law enforcement and be believed, whether you're male or female, just like he said. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that because we are in a society now where our viewpoints maybe are evolving a little bit, that people are going to feel a little more comfortable with saying, you know what, I do have a resource. I don't have to pick up a shotgun and blow my parents away to make this stop. That I can go somewhere and be believed, especially as a male.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is going to be a pivotal case. I'm sure there will be somebody that doesn't believe that they should be let out, and there's going to be some discussion around it. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing that everybody is in agreement. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people who very much vehemently disagree that they should be let out. Some people still believe that the story of the molestation was all made up by Leslie Abramson, their attorney, because she had recently won a big case with that as the defense. And some people thought, well, maybe she's doing it again. I think that's, you know, a bunk, quite honestly. Look, she was representing multiple people who have these sort of things happen to them. I think the discount that, oh, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's quite often that defense attorneys represent people who've gone through similar things. So I think that everything I have seen, and I'm not an expert, we just do this shit for a living. So I guess we're experienced in a lot of seeing things like this. I believe their testimony. I believe their testimony back then. And when I watched the old videos, I think it looked, I believe it's authentic. I think this stuff happened. You have the Menudo connection. You have other people saying that they were abused by him. I think it's highly likely that all this was very, very true. And we were in such a different place in time back then, the way that people even questioned the possibility that a male could be raped by another male. It was like a concept that people were like having a hard time even wrapping their minds around, of being something like that can actually happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
30 years ago, people were literally thinking that. Yeah.
And now take a look at what we're dealing with Diddy.
Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't quite the same time frame, but there are a lot of cases out there of males being violated. Mm-hmm. And dare I say this out loud, but I'm going to. Maybe if more men come forward and put this out there, maybe women will be believed a little bit more. I hope that's not wrong to say, but we're, you know, there's times where we're just not believed. You know, what was she wearing? Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, maybe more men coming out and saying, this is a problem. This happens.
Sure.
That it will become more commonplace to say, you know what? It's not acceptable. I don't care who it happened to, and I don't care what you were wearing. It's not acceptable, and something needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think overall, this is a conversation that people just don't like having in general. You know, it certainly does, you know, there certainly are biases out there without a doubt. I'm not denying that. I just think if people could get their head out of the sand a little bit and stop pretending that this shit doesn't exist, I think there, you know, that would be a good path to there being less of it. And there'd be less of a world that people that do this sort of shit can, you know, thrive in. and never be questioned, like that of Jose Menendez. So there's a lot that
I wish them the best. They have quite a battle on their hands. If they do get out, you know, life is going to be very upside down for them. They basically grew up in prison.
Yeah,
formative years.
I think some book deals, I think they'll find a way to make it. They've been very active in prison. I think they have a pretty good head on their shoulders of how life works. I'm not too worried about them. I think they can be big advocates for this. I'm guessing, you know, at least one of them will probably dedicate the rest of their life to this. One of them already has, really, in prison, with helping other inmates through this sort of thing. So I'm guessing there can be some silver linings to this very dark story. There you go. Breaking news this afternoon. The Los Angeles District Attorney, George Gasson, saying that he believes the Menendez brothers should go free. He's making that filing and recommendation to the court. The court now will have it in their hands to decide if they, in fact, should release the Menendez brothers early on a resentencing clause that could potentially free them by Thanksgiving. It's now in their hands. So we'll see where all of that goes. It's likely going to lead to freedom, but there is still one more step. For Stacey Cole, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us for this special report.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.